appreciate the children singing for us this morning. We just don't really, I wonder sometimes if we really know how blessed we are to have all these kids and what a blessing they are to us. I asked you to pray for us this morning. Unlike the last couple of Sundays, I've been able to kind of stick with my thought this week. Something got upon my heart, and I've not been able to get away from it. I've come to realize if I can't get away from it, it must be of God. And that's what one of the preachers told me one time, that about being called to preach. You know, he said, if I wouldn't do it if I could keep from it. And I thought, well, boy, that's some pretty bad advice, but really it's the best advice. Because if you can keep from it, you're probably not called. If you're called, it don't leave. It's going to wear you out. It's a calling that don't end. And so you're not going to get away from it. And I find that it'd be the same way with these messages. If they're of God, they ain't going to leave you. They're gonna still be there come Sunday morning and at times to stand up. But our thought this morning, and we'll get to that, it won't be in our reading lesson, but it'll be in our text. But it's going to be evidence. Evidence. So please pray for us this morning. We're going to take a reading lesson out of 1 Peter and the first chapter. We're going to begin reading in the third verse. And it says, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto the lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, the inheritance of the incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved into heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you may greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye in heaviness through manifold of temptations, that the trial of your faith, being more precious than gold, and perish through it be tried, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory of the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom it have not seen, you have ye love, and whom, though now you see him not, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, are receiving at the end of your faith even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesies in the grace that should come unto you, searching what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ, and how the glory that should follow, and to whom it was revealed that not unto them, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into." And someday I want to preach on that, but today our thought, I would like to preach on that 12th verse, but today our thought is coming out of the 8th verse, and what, like I said, we'll take our text in a minute we'll look at the evidence. But it says, "Whom having not seen ye love, and whom though now you see him not, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory." And over in a Hebrew letter, it says there in the 11th chapter, it's the faith chapter, we call it. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." And that's where we're going to take our thought from, is an evidence. And most of the time when we think about evidence, we think about, you know, it goes on and tells them, for by the elders attained a good report through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which were seen were not made of things which do appear. In other words, God made everything out of nothing. He just simply spoke it, and it wasn't made out of things that do appear. But I want to look at evidence in our faith, and the evidence of our faith. And when I look at the definition and the Strong's definition of evidence, and it kind of surprised me what the definition was. One thing was proof. Now, that don't surprise me one bit. But another thing was conviction. And I thought, well, boy, ain't that something. So I began to think about, any good prosecutor would not take anybody to trial. Trial of their peers, they would not take it in front of 12 people unless there was some evidence that could bring forth conviction. They would not go in front of any judge knowing if they had no evidence, they would not go in front of any judge with no evidence knowing there would be no conviction. And then I begin to think about, the Bible talks about Noah, how it's in this same level chapter, and we'll look at a couple of things there, him and Moses, and you can look at Abraham to do with Isaac, and you can look at this whole chapter is to do with faith. But it said, by faith, Noah being warned of God of things not seen as of yet, moved with fear and prepared the ark, and saving his house, by which condemned the world and become the heir of righteousness, which is by faith. Now listen, a man that had enough faith in God that for 120 years he labored and worked in front of his family and in front of the world, and I want you to know that was evidence unto a whole world that Noah had faith in God. He brought forth evidence. He brought forth proof, and I believe in that. It brought forth conviction. Now listen to me. You might say only his family I was saved, but I want you to know it brought forth conviction. I want you to know today, I believe in all my heart, when we begin to serve God and rejoice knowing that God is real to us. I talked about that last week. That was on our heart. This is not the same thought that I had last week, but we need to let people see that God is real. We do that through evidence and through proof. And I believe if we bring forth the evidence, there will be conviction. When we get to work, we will rejoice and be full of glory over God who we've not seen, but we believe in Him so much that we would lay down the things that we do see. Listen to me. I wonder how much evidence if a man had followed me around for the last 8 months, how much evidence he would have seen in me, how much evidence would have come forth, how much faith I would have come forth, how much would they have been able to see. Listen to me, you say, well, Brother Jeff, it seems on Sunday you have all kinds of faith. Listen to me, it's more than just on Sunday. I want you to know, no, I served God for 120 years out there. He brought forth evidence every day, not just one day, not just 352 days, not 7 days, but every day. For 120 years, He brought forth evidence that there might be conviction. Listen to me. We ask why there's no conviction in our churches anymore. Why there's no power. There's no evidence. We've got to bring forth evidence. Our children, lost people have got to see more than us than just what they see on Sunday. Listen to me. They need to see it every day through the week. You want your children to be saved, your grandchildren to be saved. Don't just come and act like Christians on Sunday. Live like Christians every day. Bring forth evidence that they might be able to see, and that will bring a conviction. By faith, Moses, when he was come, in the 24th verse of that 11th chapter, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of the Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer the afflictions with the people of God than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. That is our problem today. We enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. 6 days a week, we think we can live for the pleasures of sin and live for the things that are temporal that we can see and forget about the things that we cannot see. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than treasure of Egypt. Amen. For he had treasure, for he had the respect and recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for enduring seeing him who is invisible. Listen to me. He hadn't seen God. He saw a flame. God saw, let him see his hinder parts. But I want you to know at one time, but he hadn't seen God when he come out of there. Listen to me. I want you to know I've never seen God, but I pray my life brings forth evidence every day that he is real, that people can see faith in me. I want you to know, I believe there were some people that saw faith in Moses. They followed him. Yes, they murmured and complained, but yes, they followed him. They left the safety of Egypt. Listen to me. Oh, they had it there. They had food. They had water. But they followed a man that brought forth evidence and it brought forth conviction that they wanted to serve the Lord. I'm going to tell y'all a couple little stories right quick. I wasn't planning on getting on this, but I can't help it. I got to tell you. I believe it was week before last I was tried before. Me and my wife, from time to time, I'll be honest, we the kind of diet we're on, I don't want to preach on a diet, but listen, the kind of diet we're on, we eat the same things over and over and over. That gets old. So we called us a little something in Earl Dean Dumplings, a salad. We called us a salad in. We went up there to get it. And I walked in with my mask on, and I got in line with everybody else, and I was standing there waiting my turn, and here come a man walked in, walked right in front of me, walked up there and told him his name. He got turned around and kind of acknowledged me a little bit, turned back around, got his food and paid for it and left. And I want you to know, right there I was tried. I was tried a little bit. There was something in me. I can still remember his name. I tell you that. Because when he walked up there and told him his name, it stuck with me. But listen to me, I wanted to say something so bad. It was a time that I was being tried. I could act like the world, or I could act like what I am, a son of God, and bring forth that evidence. I didn't say a word there. In my heart I did. God knows. It won't do no good to lie. My wife heard about it when I got to the car. Brought forth bad evidence there. Went to O'Reilly's up here at town. Needed a part. I didn't even really know what I needed, and I knew most of them wasn't going to know. I saw the manager over there. He's a young guy, but he's pretty smart. And I thought, boy, I'll go over and I'll get him, and I'll get what I need. Had the opportunity there, so I walk up there, and he says, I'm on the phone. I'll be right with you, buddy. I'm standing there at my little six-foot mark. You know how we got these days, these taped-off six-foot marks. Here come this fella, walked right in front of me and stood there. And the manager looked at him, he looked at me, and one of the things come open down yonder on the other end. The guy turned around and looks at me and goes like this right here for me to go down yonder. Listen to me. I want to tell you right now, I was tried. It that was all I could do to act like what I am. But I was able to resist. Listen, we have got to bring forth evidence. Sometimes it's not in what we say, but it's in what we do. Amen. People may say, you let that fella run over you. Maybe I did, but listen to me. I want you to know if I'd shown myself that day right in front of all those people there at O'Reilly, I would have never won nobody over. And neither will you. Evidence. Amen. Conviction. We're lacking it. We're missing it. Why are we missing it? Because there is no evidence. There is no faith. If we had faith, we would be out rejoicing in the rain. It would bother us. We would know. We wouldn't see the clouds. We would see a blue sky. We wouldn't see an evil world. We would see Jesus Christ. We wouldn't see how miserable our children are and grandchildren are. We would see heaven for what it is. And if we'll show the evidence of that, listen to me, there'll be conviction. If God followed you around for 8 months, and He did, how much evidence has He seen? I didn't hit that feller at O'Reilly's. I didn't say nothing to him. Do you know what I done? God knows. I stood there and said, boy, I wish my brother was still alive and standing here. He'd wire him out. Ain't that awful to say? Ain't that awful? But it's the truth. God knows my heart. What I'd wanted and for what I really should have wanted for my brother, so he would have stood there and showed that he was a child of God. Not even thought the evil things that I did. Listen to me. Evidence has to come to the one that's been the inspector. I can say there's all kinds of evidence in that case down in Georgia for those 38 kids, but I'm not the inspector. The inspector has got to find the evidence. He's got to bring it to the prosecutor that it sits in front of a righteous judge. We've got an inspector. It's the Holy Spirit. He takes it to Jesus, and Jesus takes it to front of the judge, who is the righteous judge and has never failed in His righteous judgment. Listen to me. Ain't you glad that we've got someone, a lawyer, an advocate between us and God, that can bring our case and say, Lord, there's evidence. The blood's been applied. But listen to me. There should be more than just the blood applied evidence. There should be a life that we live that shows evidence to everyone else. I want there to be evidence that I'm just not a so-called preacher, someone that says he's been called. But I want there to be evidence, not just on Sunday when I stand in this parking lot, but on Monday when I'm at O'Reilly's, on Thursday when I'm down at L.G. Dumplings, or wherever else I may be. Every day of the rest of my life, I want people to see evidence that I'm a child of God. Because we need conviction. We need it. We need it bad. Amen. Y'all pray for me. Amen. Ye, amen, of James chapter 2 and 18. Yea, a man say, thou hast faith, I have worked. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. I want you to know that is evidence. When you show your faith by how you live your life. Listen to me. Without it, it says it's dead. I want you to know it don't mean you ain't got it. It just ain't doing nothing. Your faith is dead when you don't show it to the world. When there's no evidence of it. We need that. We need it. With this revival coming up, people, we need it bad. And I'm not talking about because we're out here in the parking lot, we ain't got faith. I'm talking about we ain't got faith how we live our lives. We've got to have it. And without it, it ain't going to be no conviction. James went on and talked about Abraham and how he offered up his son Isaac. But Abraham knew, even if he had took his last son, God was able to raise him up. That was faith. That was evidence, and it was unto God. And God said, he told him to stop, that he had showed him. He had brought forth evidence unto God that he loved him more than he did his own son. Listen to me. That's evidence that will bring conviction. Listen, our children, we love them, but they're just like everything else. They're temporal. We've got to put God before anything. He said, if you love your children, your father and mother, your brother and sister, you are not worthy of me. Listen to me. When we got saved, we had to give it all up. We had to realize even our own life wasn't worth nothing compared to Christ. That's evidence. But it shouldn't stop there. It should start there. We should live the rest of our lives bringing forth evidence. Why? That it bring forth conviction. A lost and dying world is dying around us and going to hell, and they're not seeing no evidence of why they should believe in God. Why should they believe? Brother, cause me and you believe. Because we live our life accordingly. Paul, I'm going to read a couple more verses, and then I'm going to read you a little more on the reading, and I'll be done. Paul said in 2 Corinthians in the 4th chapter, in the 18th verse, ending up that chapter, ending the 4th chapter, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For things that which are seen are temporal, but things which are not seen are eternal. That's the things we should be looking upon. And then in the 5th, I think that verse should go with the 5th chapter, but I don't know. I'm not as smart as the man that done this. He said in the 7th verse of the 5th chapter, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Listen to me. I'm the kind of guy that plans out everything. Are you that way? I want to know what tomorrow I'm going to be doing tomorrow, and I'd like to know what I'm going to be Tuesday. If Brother Barry wants me to come and help him, or Brother Marty, or our brother Larry, when we come help him, or Daniel, or whoever you might be, I'd say, if you don't care, give me a week or two in advance. I'm that type of guy. I'm trying to plan ahead, you know, and see things. Now, I want to be able to see it to where I know. Listen to me. We're not to live our lives that way. We're to live our lives in the day. That's the things we can't even see. It ain't even no promise of tomorrow. But I want to be able to see, hey, I've got this amount of money here to pay this bill next month or this month. I want to know all these things. I want to know about them. Listen to me, that's not faith. Faith is believing in the things that we've not seen, the things the angels desire to see, that we're going to be able to see. And we're to live our lives accordingly. And you say, well, Brother Jeff, that's just hard to do. You don't think it wasn't hard for Noah for 120 years? You're talking about, the Bible says we're to be a peculiar people. It takes a pretty peculiar fella to stand out in the parking lot in the rain and preach the Word of God. But listen to me. Noah, you don't think that people didn't think he was peculiar? We went up there to that ark and they tried to make him out to be crazy. He wasn't crazy. He was peculiar. He was different. Why was he different? Because he believed in what lied ahead, not in what he saw. He believed a God in heaven when he told him what he was going to do. By faith, he believed him. He'd never even seen it rain, much less a flood. But he went to work. And for 120 years, he brought evidence in front of the world. And you say, well, they didn't believe. His family did. If nobody else ever believes me, I pray my grandchildren believe me. You say, Brother Jeff, that's awful. No, I want them all to believe me. You don't think no one didn't want them all to believe him. He didn't only build an ark. He preached the gospel for 120 years. He begged and pleaded with them to come in. They begged them. Listen to me. But his family got on that ark with him. I want you to know, I believe Noah got on there a happy man, knowing his family was going with him. Listen to me. You want your family to go with you. You bring forth evidence. You live your life every day in front of them where they'll see a Christian man, a Christian woman. And if you'll do that, that evidence will turn into conviction. And then conviction will end up bringing forth faith. And I want you to know, and I bring grace, and your children and grandchildren will be saved. Because of the evidence that's been brought forth out of your life. You say, well, I ain't got nothing to do with that. I'm fixing to read from you in the Word of God. Where you do. We normally take this out of Mark. I'm going to read out of Luke today just because it's there in Luke 2. Y'all pray for us. I'm going to read it out of Mark. I want to do what the Lord wants, not what I want. So I have to move my paperclip thing. But I'm getting used to that, I reckon. I'm just going to have to quit using them. I just do it to make me feel better, I reckon. Mark chapter 2, and it said again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it came knows that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive him. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they came unto him, bringing the sick of the palsy, which born of the four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when he had broken it up, He let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. And when Jesus, listen, saw their faith, when he saw the evidence, he said unto the sick of palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But they were certain of the scribes sitting there and reason in their hearts, why doeth this man thus speak blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they were so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins are forgiven thee, or to say, arise, take up thy bed and walk. But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. And he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed and go thy way into thy house. And immediately he arose and took up his bed and went forth from them, inasmuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we've never saw it in this fashion. Listen to me. You pay attention to what I read to you. He said when he saw their faith. Listen to me. I believe just like you do, that we can't pray the prayer, or we can't have enough faith for somebody to be saved. But listen to me, I believe something more happened there that day. I believe when he saw their faith, it brought forth conviction. And when conviction got mixed with things, that man's sins was forgiven him. Listen to me, we have got to bring forth evidence. That's what those men brought. They brought forth such evidence that God saw the evidence in such a way that they was willing to do whatever it took. That was evidence unto God. Listen to me. God, Abraham had faith in God. Those men had faith in God. Listen to me. We need to have faith in God. And when we get to where we have faith in God, then it brings forth evidence. I believe in all my heart, then there will be conviction. So you can say, well, Jeff, I'm showing as much faith as I can. Well, that's about as much conviction we're going to get then. You want more? You want, when we come here, that we can be just like it's over there when I read to you in a reading lesson. Let me go back over there and we'll read that and then we'll be done. Do you really want more? Do you want to see it? Do you want to see the power of God? Do you want to see it be in such a fashion that it feels like the house is going to explode, the parking lot's going to explode? In whom have I not seen? You have never seen Jesus Christ. You have never seen God. But ye love in whom thou now you see him not, yet believe ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Listen to me. If they'll see that, they will bring evidence. And if we bring evidence, there'll be conviction. Have you ever seen it when it happened like that? I don't believe Ashley's here today. She may be. I can't keep up with what everybody drives. But the night that she got saved, Barry Brunner sat over on that front seat of that bench and all he could do was grin. Why was you grinning, Barry Brunner? Because you knew God was fixing to save her, didn't you? He had faith. And then I looked over and saw it, and that was evidence to me. Everybody else was crying. That man was sitting there grinning like a possum. Listen to me. He believed God was going to save her. Listen to me. When them children went to sing in that song, it's under the blood. It wasn't nobody in the house didn't think that girl was going to get saved. It was evidence to God. We was tearing the roof off how to get her to Jesus. Listen to me. And it brought conviction. And she got to the point she was ready to let go of mom and daddy. Let go of everything in this world. And she got saved. Because evidence come, conviction come, and faith come. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. So where's the evidence? Can your wife? My wife can verify there was some bad evidence when I come out of O'Reilly's. When I come out of Earl G. Dumpins, there was evidence there that just wasn't much. Because she said, listen, that's what she does to me. It takes a good preacher's wife every once in a while. When I come out of there, man, and I heard it, and she can see it all over me, and my old mouth went to running a little bit. She said, listen, how are you acting? She put the preacher right in his little spot. And then I about half come mad at her. Listen, if you're mad at me today, you can leave, man. But if you're a child of God, you'll just be just like me. You will get to the red light. You'll be saying, I'm sorry, Listen to me. Evidence. We need it. Because we need conviction. We've got a righteous judge. We've got an advocate. Amen. Now, let's show the world. Let's not tell them we have faith. But let's show them our faith by our works. And then that'll bring evidence. And our children and our grandchildren will see it. The lost world will see it. That's how our light shines. When we bring forth evidence of things not seen. That's my message. I pray we'll take and put it and apply it to our lives. Y'all pray for your pastor. And pray for his wife. Because she's the one that has to fuss at me. And I'm glad she does. I'm glad she loves me enough that she don't just sit back and let me make a fool of myself. And she tells me, you're a preacher. You're a man of God. You're a child of God. Don't you forget that. Don't you forget that. Don't ever let me forget that. So when somebody says, you go on down to the other end, I'll take your spot. Let me gladly go and pray for them that they might see evidence. Go ahead.